The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
Good afternoon, a belated Valentine's Day to everyone listening. I hope you were able to be with your loved ones on Valentine's Day. I also hope you had a chance to catch last week's show with Kathy Brodsky, who is the director of the AMETS Adoption Program, a program of the Jewish Child Care Association. Kathy and I spoke about their upcoming conference on March 23rd in Manhattan. Now, it is only one day. It's from 8 to 5:30 p.m. that day. But, you know, the Jewish Child Care Association has been holding this conference for the last 20 years, and many workshops, about 25 workshops, lots of resources for professionals and adoptive families. So it was good to hear about that. And if you have a chance, if you're in the general vicinity or if you're just interested in a trip to New York, you can get more information by contacting them at 212-558-9949. You could also find out more information about attending at their website at jccany. That's jccany.org. So I do want to also mention that coming up, we have a special free webinar that's available for adoptive families. I'm going to be doing a special webinar with Becky Wilmoth of Bill's Tax Service. Becky's been on the show before talking about the adoption tax credit, and Becky and I will be conducting a special adoption tax credit webinar. The date is February 27th at 6 o'clock p.m. Becky and I will be live. She's going to be answering your adoption tax credit questions, so we'll cover some of the highlights from her appearance on the show and take your questions. It should be a lot of fun. Well, I guess a lot is as fun as taxes can be. But we'll have more information, so keep listening next week of how to register and stay tuned with that. You can also go to our website at youradoptionfinancecoach.com to find out more. So there's an important tax information that Becky was giving me. I announced this last week on the show. But it's also very important for anyone who has completed an adoption in 2007. Your time is running out to claim your adoption tax credit. That is this April 2014. So for more information about that, if you completed an adoption in 2007, you need to contact Becky at billstax2.com. That's Becky at billstax2.com, and she can give you more information about that. If you have not claimed the adoption tax credit for an adoption that was completed in 2007, you're just basically leaving money on the table, folks. So be sure that you find out and learn more about that. Well, I'm excited. This week we're going to look at some interesting topics. This week we're going to look at assisted reproduction and surrogacy. I have joining me Brian Esser. Brian has a law firm that focuses on assisted reproductive technology law, that's a mouthful, and surrogacy, as well as adoption and estate planning. And Brian founded his practice on building and protecting families. He works with clients to identify the best way for them to build their families among the range of family building options. Brian is an adoptive father himself and soon to have not one but two children. Brian and his partner enjoy time with their son Keith and soon to be second son expecting in April. Brian, you must be very excited to know that this is coming around the pike, right?
We are very excited. We're super super excited. Fingers crossed that everything goes well with the second adoption. But we're cautiously optimistic.
That is great. That's great. Well, and having been through it before, so you mm-hmm. kind of know. You do have to be cautiously optimistic, and you do know. But tell us about the best part. I always like to start off with the family, and tell us about Keith. Right, that's your son's name.
Yep.
How old
yep.
is he?
Our son is Keith. He will be three in April. So the terrible twos are winding down. Although people say that if you think that the twos are bad, you've never had a 3-year old. So
that's very true. I can attest.
We're waiting to learn about that, but it's been good. Each new stage is a great gift, and we've just really enjoyed watching him grow and learn and expand the things that he's able to do. It's been great.
Yeah. Now, Keith was adopted domestically. Is that right?
Yep. Yep. He was born in Pennsylvania. We were we got to be there with his birth mother through the entire thing. So we were there for the delivery. I got to cut the cord. That was really exciting.
My.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we have a nice relationship with her. It's a fairly open adoption. We send her letters and pictures of Keith on a pretty regular basis, and we try to get together about twice a year. We really want to make sure that he knows, that he's adopted and that who his birth family is, so that that's part of his self as he grows up.
Yeah, it's a very important part of their story. And I know, as an adoptive parent myself, it's very, very important, I think, to help your child, whether it be it international or domestic, to really help them put their story together, because we all have a story, and that's very, very important part of our identity. So,
a great way of putting it.
Yeah. So your second son is coming.
Yep.
So number two is on the way.
Yeah.
So tell us what you know about this birth mom.
Well, she lives in Connecticut, so we're adding a new state to the mix. But that's where my husband grew up, so it's a state that we know. So that's kind of nice. She's just a fantastic young lady. She loves to paint and draw, and she did dance all through grade school up through high school, and she just seems like a wonderful person.
So it was a good match for you. Now, you used an agency to make the connection and find the birth mom. Is that what happened?
We did. Yeah, we used Adoptions Through the Heart, or Adoptions from the Heart, which is based in Pennsylvania. We worked with their Allentown office, and that's a really fantastic agency. We've been really happy with them.
Yeah, well, I know they'll appreciate the plug today.
Sure they will.
So, yeah. So, what can you tell us about any challenges that you have with two sons? You're going to have two sons. You're going to have two different birth moms. How? What advice or what challenges do you see about navigating that process?
Well, this is going to be a learning curve. We're really going to learn a lot about how to handle two different relationships with two different birth parents. This new birth mother that we've just been, potential birth mother that we've been matched with, she's not quite sure yet how she feels about open adoption. And, we're at a place where we know a lot about it, having
right.
done it before and having, living it right now. And she's just at the beginning stages of learning about it. So we'll have to see how that relationship plays out. And we're trying to be very, very mindful of the fact that, we could have two different relationships, two different levels of openness and contact. And, that's something that we're going to have to see how it plays out over the years. And, it's something we're going to have to be attuned to.
Right. Well, I can see that there could be a lot of advantages and a lot of disadvantages to that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make a note because I think you should be on the show in 3 or 4 years. We're going to ask you.
Yeah.
That's a whole radio show in itself, isn't it?
Oh, boy, won't it be.
Yeah, to have two birth moms, two different birth moms, what the process was for each one of them having, varying different ways of openness, because right. open adoption is obviously something that you can't just ignore. I mean, it's here. Right. So mm-hmm. if you think that you're not going to have that contact, it's a totally different story. Yeah. And the internet has shown us that that's what it is. And Adam Pertman actually has done a lot of research on how the internet has changed the whole industry of adoption and yeah. the whole idea yeah. that it is open. Whether you like that idea or not, it is open.
Yeah, it's a fantastic series of reports that they've done. And the current numbers, I think there's only like 5% of adoptions that are done right now that are closed adoptions, and the rest are either fully open or semi-open.
Oh, that's a great statistic. Yeah, that's wonderful. And that does not surprise me. And I think it's really important, and I know this is not the topic of our talk today, but I think it's really important that the adoptive parents and the birth mom really go in with an open mind about what that looks like. As you said, this young woman doesn't really know what that looks like for her. And so as an adoptive parent, really exploring that with her and making sure that everyone is really comfortable. So do you have – thanks for sharing that with us, Brian. Do you have a name picked out for the son number two?
We do, but I haven't. We haven't.
You're not going to share it with us.
We haven't told our parents yet what the name is. So as much as I'd love to share that secret with your listeners, I think I would get in lots and lots of trouble with my mother.
You would get in lots of trouble, but you're going to have to report it back to me so that I can let our listeners know, you know, how that came together and the names of your boys and all of that. So we'll have to definitely have an update, but I completely appreciate it. So. I'm not sure. We're gonna kind of dive into some new subjects today, and most of our listeners are probably a lot like me, Brian, in that I really my baseline of information about assisted reproductive technology and about surrogacy is really thin. So I don't really know a lot about this. These are kind of two emerging topics that are happening in adoption. And when you and I connected, I thought it would really be a good idea to have you on the show and just do kind of a 101. So, you know, first I think it's really about terminology.
Sure.
So tell us what is, and we've got about 2 minutes here in this first segment, so we're going to cover a lot of information today. So I'm going to invite the listeners to really stay with us because we're going to cover a lot of information today. But let's start off with just the terminology. What is assisted reproductive technology? What is that?
Sure, Kelly. That's a really broad term, and it encompasses pretty much anything where a family needs either some additional medical help to get pregnant, you know, and that can be as basic as you know, as IUI, intrauterine insemination, also known as artificial insemination or alternative insemination, you know, up through IVF, which is the test tube baby. So you take an egg out of a woman and sperm, and you mix it in a petri dish, and then you transfer the resulting embryo back to the mother. But then that can also include any situation where a third party is necessary to help a family get pregnant. And that would be like a sperm donor or an egg donor, even an embryo donor, and then also surrogacy is included within that.
Okay. Great. Well, you just hit my timeline right on. Right on. That was really good. I'm very impressed.
Well, thank you.
Hence the word assisted reproductive technology, yep. Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a short break, and I want to just do a special call out to Holly and Associates, one of our new sponsors. They're a unique insurance broker providing insurance services to social services and child welfare agencies, specifically adoption agencies and foster care agencies with insurance coverage. I have to tell you, I've met Phil and his team. They're experts in finding the right coverage that you need at the most affordable price. So check out their banner on our homepage. You can go to voiceamerica.com, or you can also now go to youradoptionfinancecoach.com, where you can listen to the show. So you're listening to Kelly Ellison, Your Adoption Coach Radio. I'm here with Brian Esser, and stay with us. We've got a lot to cover today. We'll be right back.
Your nonprofit is unique. It's because of your passion and commitment to making the world a better place. At Holly & Associates, we share in your passion by providing specialized insurance products to adoption agencies around the world. Like you, we do one thing and one thing only, social service. Our knowledge of adoption is what sets us apart from the rest. We are dedicated to protecting your organization with the right insurance coverage at the most affordable price. Call us today at 1-800-914-9135 or at hawleyandassociates.com.
The Gladney Center for Adoption believes every child deserves the love and support of a forever family. That is why we offer a variety of waiting child adoption programs here at home and around the world. If you've been considering opening your home and your heart to a child that needs your love, please log on to achildtolove.org or call 1-800-GLADNEY. We offer flexible adoption programs, pre- and post-adoption support, and professional and caring counseling support throughout the adoption process. The Gladney Center for Adoption is a place where hope is born.
Pure religion is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. James 1:27. Embraced by Grace is a nonprofit agency located in Central Florida, providing children and family services. We currently process domestic and international adoptions, focusing on the 6 to 16-year-olds, who are the most unwanted people group in the world. Our heart is to find a forever home for every adoptable child. To learn more, please visit us at embracedbygrace.org. Embraced by Grace, a place where hope and destiny meet.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. I'm with Brian Esser today. His website, rather, is esserlawoffice.com. Brian's firm specializes in adoption, domestic and international, LGBT adoptions, foster to adopt, same family adoptions, and assisted reproductive technology and surrogacy. Brian is an attorney in New York, and very excited to have him here. He's also an adoptive dad, soon to be an adoptive dad of two boys, so we're very excited about that. So we were just talking, we're really diving into some just kind of 101 in terms of assisted reproductive technology. I'm going to start to refer to that as ART. Would that be appropriate, Brian?
Yes. Yeah. Some people even say art, so you can...
So ART, and I come from the art world, so it's a little confusing for me, but ART. And so what we were talking about is what is ART, and basically to reiterate what you had said is in any case where someone needs medical help, so it could be IVF, mm-hmm. it could be a third party, it could be where any time, and now that makes sense to me in terms of the word assisted reproductive technology.
Right.
So... that makes a lot of sense. So now we jump to gestational. When I was doing some research on the whole issue of surrogacy, I noticed right away that there are two different tracks here. There's gestational surrogacy versus traditional surrogacy. And boy, it really did confuse me. So set me straight here.
With traditional surrogacy. Traditional surrogacy is when the woman who is carrying the child for the intended parents, and we call the parents of any any family where there's a third party involved providing sperm, egg, embryo. Those are the intended parents. So the woman who's carrying the child for the intended parents is also the woman who provides the egg. So she is genetically related to the child that she's carrying. Now we contrast that with gestational surrogacy, and that's where the surrogate, the woman who's carrying the child, doesn't have a genetic connection to the child. So either the intended mother provides the egg, or an egg donor is the genetic mother of the child.
Okay, so just by, that obviously leads me right to the fact that she is only carrying that. So she really is just the transportation, if you will. I don't mean to make that rude, but she's basically the transportation.
Right.
That means that she's not the biological mother.
That's only right.
In the case when she would donate an egg, when she would provide her egg as a part of that she would be the biological mother. I thought that was very interesting when I was reading the differences between the two. The most popular of these two is probably the gestational surrogacy. Is there a track one way or the other that's selected over one?
That's right. I mean, most families these days choose gestational surrogacy. Traditional surrogacy is still seen. It's much less common. We've advanced so much in terms of IVF technology and egg donation and the like that it's not cost prohibitive to do gestational surrogacy. I mean, it's still very expensive and it is out of the price range of many people, but it is a viable option.
Okay, and when you say that, can I ask? It's out of the price range of many people. What does that mean? What kind of price range are you talking about?
It's gestational surrogacy, depending on, you know, a number of factors. I mean, as to whether the surrogate is compensated, or if it's a compassionate surrogacy, maybe a person's mother or sister is carrying the child for them. So if there's if the surrogate is compensated, and if there's an agency involved, and if there's an egg donor involved, and if there's travel involved and the like, you can easily look at a price tag of $100,000 to $125,000 or sometimes more.
Okay.
Yeah, so it can be quite expensive. Now, if you're looking at a compassionate surrogacy situation and there's no travel involved, it could be much less. But I think most people going into it should expect a price tag of somewhere around $100,000.
Oh my goodness. Okay, and so before we've got another break coming up here in about 3 minutes. So let's jump to embryo adoption. So tell
right.
us about what is that, and then I want to break these out so that we can really see them separately.
Certainly. So embryo donation, which some people also refer to as embryo adoption, is when a family who has pursued IVF has determined that they've had as many children as they want to, but they still might have frozen embryos. And so then they're faced with difficult decisions about what they're going to do with those embryos. And they could discard them, or they could donate them for research. And increasingly, an option that a lot of people are finding a good option for them is to donate them to other families who for whatever reason, you know, can't create their own embryos. But also the intended mother in that situation could carry a pregnancy to term, but for some reason she might not be able to produce eggs, or a lot of times we hear that families say, well, if both partners or both spouses can't be biologically related to the child, they would prefer that neither of them be biologically related, and then they would seek an embryo donor to provide them with an embryo that then they would use to get pregnant.
And so I just go right away to, so if there is, if both parties are not able to have children and they do the embryo adoption in some mm-hmm. cases, then can that involve gestational surrogacy?
Sure. I mean, in theory, yes, you could. If the intended mother, or in the situation of a same-sex couple, if there is no intended mother or a single man, in theory, yes, they could use a surrogate to gestate or carry the embryo that they've adopted. I don't think that that's particularly common. I think many people who pursue surrogacy do that because they do want the genetic connection to their child. But certainly that's an option that would be available to people.
Yeah. So there's so much about this, and we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about just kind of the laws that mandate this, because that's really what you specialize in,
mm-hmm.
and really understanding. You know, we've talked before about domestic adoption and the various different state by state laws, and how families can be, you know, pretty careful about that in terms of if your birth mom is from a different state than you are from, you know, what prevails. So there are a lot of intricacies. in that there are equal number, and I think lots of misconceptions. I think you would agree.
Definitely.
In this whole world, hence why we're doing this show today. So stay with us. We're going to talk a little bit more about the laws that govern the each state on surrogacy, and actually knowing how interesting it was to find that surrogacy is illegal in some states. So you're listening to Callie Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. I'm here with Brian Esser at EsserLawOffice.com. We hope you'll stay with us.
Pure religion is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. James 1:27. Embraced by Grace is a nonprofit agency located in Central Florida, providing children and family services. We currently process domestic and international adoptions, focusing on the 6 to 16-year-olds, who are the most unwanted people group in the world. Our heart is to find a forever home for every adoptable child. To learn more, please visit us at embracedbygrace.org. Embraced by Grace, a place where hope and destiny meet. The Gladney Center for Adoption believes every child deserves the love and support of a forever family. That is why we offer a variety of waiting child adoption programs here at home and around the world. If you've been considering opening your home and your heart to a child that needs your love, please log on to achildtolove.org or call 1-800-GLADNEY. We offer flexible adoption programs, pre- and post-adoption support, and professional and caring counseling support throughout the adoption process. The Gladney Center for Adoption is a place where hope is born.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union. On approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Your nonprofit is unique. It's because of your passion and commitment to making the world a better place. At Holly & Associates, we share in your passion by providing specialized insurance products to adoption agencies around the world. Like you, we do one thing and one thing only: social service. Our knowledge of adoption is what sets us apart from the rest. We are dedicated to protecting your organization with the right insurance coverage at the most affordable price. Call us today at 1-800-914-9135 or at hawleyandassociates.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And so we're back. Thanks so much for staying with us. And again, a happy belated Valentine's Day to everyone. And hopefully the weather is calming down a little bit, although I don't think so in folks in the East Coast, right, Brian?
Well, it's actually a sunny day here today. Yesterday was terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah. So hopefully we're going to be getting a break around that. Again, I am with Brian Esser, who is with EsserLawOffice.com. Brian's firm specializes in adoption, domestic and international, LGBT adoption, foster to adopt, and same family adoptions. He also specializes in assisted reproductive technology law and surrogacy law. And we're really drilling down on that today because I think it's real important to understand the laws that really govern these particular issues. They are emerging issues, as we know. Do you have any idea, Brian, in terms of, you probably have a sense in terms of your own practice, what percentage of folks, you know, if you have 100 people that are considering adoption, let's just say they're all adoptive, prospective adoptive candidates, how many of that of 100 people would pursue ART or surrogacy instead of international or domestic adoption? Do you have a sense of that?
Well, that's a tough question. I mean, certainly, most of the heterosexual families have probably already been through fertility treatments and are turning to adoption, considering adoption after they've reached the end of fertility treatment. I think there's a fair number of people who want to learn about what the various options are in terms of adoption versus surrogacy. They want information, and if we talked a little bit about the cost before, and if it's something that they can afford, I think they find surrogacy to be an attractive option because there's a perception that you have a lot more control over the process if you're doing surrogacy.
Okay. Because we'll get a little bit more into this, but I'm trying to figure out at what point, if you're selecting surrogacy, be it traditional surrogacy or gestational surrogacy, in my understanding, is there an adoption that ends at either one of those paths? Is there a formal adoption that happens?
Well, I mean, there can be. Typically with surrogacy, in most of the very favorable states, like California, for instance, you would get what's called a pre-birth order. And so at some point in time, probably during the third trimester, you would go into court with the surrogacy agreement, and maybe the surrogate would also be required to appear. And just to, say that she consents and that she understands and that there's been no coercion. And an order would be entered by the court declaring that the intended parents are the legal parents of the child that's still, in the womb, and then directing the state vital records department to issue a birth certificate upon the child's birth saying that the intended parents are the legal parents of the child. Now, that's what happens in California and, frankly, most states that permit surrogacy. There's a handful of states where you can't get a pre-birth order, and so you're waiting until after the child is born, and the original birth certificate would be issued with the surrogate's name on the birth certificate, and then that would be amended by the post-birth order, which would then declare the intended parents to be the legal parents of the child.
Wow. Okay. So it's very complicated, and hence why you're an attorney.
Yes. And it varies. It varies dramatically from state to state.
Well, I want to tell you, when I was doing some research for this particular show, I ran across a website called, I don't know if you know about this, you probably do, Creative Family Connections.
Yes.
A website, they publish a U.S. map, which I thought was very helpful, with the laws governing each state on surrogacy.
Yeah.
And so it's very interesting, I think, that it's not, there are some states where this is not legal. New York is one of them, is that right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Surrogacy is not, compensated surrogacy contracts are not legal in New York. All surrogacy contracts are considered void as against public policy, but particularly compensated contracts. And in D.C., all surrogacy contracts are illegal, and in fact, they're even criminal. Which is not to say that families from New York and D.C. don't pursue surrogacy. They just are forced to go outside of the state to to enter into those agreements.
So you said compensated surrogacy, and I'm hearing that you're using a specific term here.
Right.
So if we look at traditional surrogacy or gestational surrogacy, it doesn't matter. Surrogacy in general is illegal if it's compensated.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's
so
right.
If you're not compensating, what would that situation be?
There was an instance recently out of Utah, I believe it was, where a woman who I can't remember how old she was, but she was older. I think she was probably in her 60s, maybe even carried a child for her daughter who was unable to carry a pregnancy to term, mm-hmm. And so that's probably an example of an uncompensated surrogacy situation.
Okay, where it would be a family member or it would be someone like that, where it would be, is that similar to a same family adoption or? You can see where all the lines get very gray here.
They do get very gray. Would it be like a same family adoption? It would depend on the laws of the state and things like that. My guess is that they were probably able to take advantage of the surrogacy laws in Utah, and there probably wasn't an adoption required, but I'm not certain.
Yeah. So are there more states that where surrogacy is, I don't know if you know the answer to this question, are there more that where it's legal or illegal? What's the common? What's kind of the norm?
Well, with surrogacy, it's not an either or. There's sort of a continuum. I think we like to think of it as states that are more favorable and states that are less favorable. I think there's probably fewer states that are favorable. There's a handful. I think that if you were looking at pursuing surrogacy, that you'd probably want to focus on Illinois and California definitely come to mind as being among the most favorable. Nevada okay. just changed its surrogacy laws by statute to make that a very favorable jurisdiction. Last year, the Wisconsin Supreme Court issued an opinion that has made surrogacy much more favorable for intended parents in Wisconsin. So as you can tell, this is it's a very fluid area of the law. There's a lot of developments right now. You want to make sure that you're staying on top of that and that your lawyer is aware of them and also steering you towards the more favorable states and away from the less favorable states.
Yeah. So where is the arbiter? If I'm living in Missouri and mm-hmm. I'm a prospective parent, mm-hmm. would I call myself a prospective adoptive parent? Also, right?
Sure.
So I'm okay. So I'm I know you. What you said it was intended parents. So
intended
I'm an intended parent,
yep.
parent, right? And so I want to find a surrogate. Which state governs me? Is it Missouri, or is it if I find a surrogate in a particular state, it's the state where the surrogate is from, or it's the state where I live?
Do we usually say that the law that governs the contract is the law of the state where the surrogate lives? I mean,
okay.
sometimes we would say the law where the baby is born. I think it's probably best to make sure that the surrogate lives in a surrogacy friendly state in the event that babies are unpredictable as to when they come. So you don't want to make sure that the surrogate isn't racing for the border to make sure that she's giving birth in a surrogacy friendly state.
Oh, wow. Okay. So do many adoption agencies, I wouldn't imagine that many adoption agencies handle this. This is really more of a legal, you would need someone like yourself who really specializes in this particular area. Would that be more accurate?
Yeah, I think that's right. I'm not familiar with any adoption agencies that are also surrogacy agencies. There are a large number of surrogacy agencies that that facilitate the match between the intended parents and the surrogate, and they provide support services for the surrogate during the pregnancy, and they also assist with the screening and the background checks of the potential surrogate, as well as some basic education and screening of the intended parents as well.
Okay, very good. Well, there certainly is just a plethora of information that one would need to know if they are exploring this particular issue. And again, the different types of surrogacy that are available and the laws that govern each of the states around surrogacy. And as you said, there are fewer states that are favorable to this. So, I think this sounds like if it's something that folks are interested in, they probably need to go to an attorney. You practice in not only in New York, but you're able to in the state, but you're able to practice in other states. Is that right, Brian?
Yeah, I'm admitted also in Illinois and D.C.
And DC. Okay, great. Is there a database, or if someone is interested in finding an attorney, in their particular area, is there a database of attorneys that handle surrogacy?
I would suggest they look at the American Academy of Assisted Reproductive Attorneys,
okay.
Also known as ARDA, and that is an academy of specialists. Mm-hmm. Who have a lot of experience in this area. There's also a large number of attorneys who work in the assisted reproductive technology area who aren't ARDA members for various reasons. And some of them I think you would be able to contact through the American Bar Association Family Law Section Committee on Assisted Reproductive Technology.
Okay, very good. And you can also contact you. So
of course,
yeah.
I would be more than happy to help people find an attorney in who practices in their area.
Right, very good. Well, again, I'm with Brian Esser, who is really breaking down for us this whole idea of surrogacy, the whole idea of art. Assisted reproductive technology and embryo donation. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. If you'd like to get more information about Brian, you can find him on his website at esserlawoffice.com. Their firm specializes in adoption, domestic and international, LGBT adoption, foster to adopt, same family, and art and surrogacy. So you're listening to Kelly Ellison. I'm your Adoption Coach Radio. So glad that you're with us today. Stay with us. We've got more to come in our last segment.
The Gladney Center for Adoption believes every child deserves the love and support of a forever family. That is why we offer a variety of waiting child adoption programs here at home and around the world. If you've been considering opening your home and your heart to a child that needs your love, please log on to achildtolove.org or call 1-800-GLADNEY. We offer flexible adoption programs, pre- and post-adoption support, and professional and caring counseling support throughout the adoption process. The Gladney Center for Adoption is a place where hope is born.
Your nonprofit is unique. It's because of your passion and commitment to making the world a better place. At Holly & Associates, we share in your passion by providing specialized insurance products to adoption agencies around the world. Like you, we do one thing and one thing only, social service. Our knowledge of adoption is what sets us apart from the rest. We are dedicated to protecting your organization with the right insurance coverage at the most affordable price. Call us today at 1-800-914-9135 or at hawleyandassociates.com. Pure religion is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. James 1:27. Embraced by Grace is a nonprofit agency located in Central Florida, providing children and family services. We currently process domestic and international adoptions, focusing on the 6 to 16-year-olds, who are the most unwanted people group in the world. Our heart is to find a forever home for every adoptable child. To learn more, please visit us at embracedbygrace.org. Embraced by Grace, a place where hope and destiny meet.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. Thanks so much for staying with us. I do want to give a call out, a special call out for Gladney Adoptions. I've just received information from them about their Hope Exchange program open to Texas families who are willing to open their hearts to an older child from Colombia. Now, adventurous prospective adoptive parents are invited to travel to Colombia the summer of 2014 for the opportunity for prospective parents to meet healthy boys and girls ranging from ages of 7 to 14 who can't wait to spend time with a loving family. For more information about that program, it's the Hope Exchange Program open to Texas families. You can go to their website at adoptionsbygladney.com for more information. And we're back again with Brian Esser talking about surrogacy and assisted reproductive technology. We just spent the last couple of segments talking about surrogacy. We're going to shift for a moment to assisted reproductive technology and talk about that. Now, Brian, I've worked with families who've been through this and really end up eventually on the adoption path, though it doesn't work for everybody. We know that. And it can be, just like adoption in many ways, it can be a very emotional path for people. Mm-hmm. And so give us some basics, because ART can be very expensive also. Are there just, do you have a rule of thumb? What kind of cost are we talking about if folks are considering this?
Well, I mean, it varies significantly based on what you're interested in doing and what's right and what technologies you need. As I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, Kelly, an IVF cycle usually costs around $10,000. Now, if some people, as they sort of move up the treatment ladder, as people refer to it, look at getting an egg donor if it looks like they, that they can carry a pregnancy, but for whatever reason, they have poor quality eggs or they don't have any eggs really, then they might look at getting an egg donor, and that usually costs around $10,000 to $20,000, depending on the characteristics of the egg donor that you're looking for, and also, other related program fees in addition to the IVF fees. Sperm donation is a much less expensive endeavor. Usually, that's a few hundred dollars to acquire donated sperm, and then embryo donation. There might be some program fees related to any matching agency that you might use, but typically embryo donors aren't compensated. So other than costs associated with the IVF cycle, there wouldn't be any additional fees, particularly with embryo donation.
So there are some adoption agencies that are doing embryo donations and embryo adoptions. So any fees that would be associated with that are not necessarily related to the embryo, would be related to that whole process, that the services that the adoption agency would provide.
That's right. The services related to, I suppose, recruiting the embryo donors and the recipients and the screening of parties on both sides.
Okay, great. So lots to look at here. And so obviously we have laws that regulate this particular industry. What are some of the concerns that a couple would need to consider if they're going down this path?
Well, I think the first thing that you would need to look at is parentage laws in your state. How does your state define who the legal parents of a child are? And that's really the sort of the first focus that you need to have, is because at the end of the day, we're looking for two things, right? We're looking for a healthy baby, and then we're looking for the intended parents to be the legal parents of the healthy baby. And sometimes that can be, that second piece, the legal parentage, can be difficult. You need to sort of conform your conduct to the laws of your state. There's a case that was decided in January about a family that recruited a sperm donor on Craigslist. It was a lesbian couple, and they had the gentleman come to their house with his sample, and they did the insemination on their own, and now the Kansas courts have determined that this sperm donor owes child support to the intended parents, because he's the legal father, because a sperm donor is only counts as a sperm donor if the insemination is done in the doctor's office.
And, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and so here you have this guy who thought he was just helping a nice family get built, and suddenly he's on the hook for child support. So these are the kinds of things that you need to be aware of if you're embarking down a journey like this.
Right, I can see that there could be a number of things, and for lots and lots of reasons, you would need to have legal counsel to make sure before you do anything. I mean, any kind of adoption, be it domestic or international, you just have to really make sure that you have all of your I's dotted and your T's crossed.
Definitely.
And make sure that you're not doing anything. So in this particular situation, for this embryo donation, again, I'm going to go back. Is there an adoption at the end of that?
Again, that's going to depend on state law. Many states, there's a presumption that the woman who gives birth to a child is the child's mother. And now, of course, that goes back to the very early days of English and American law, where there was no way to separate the legal mother from the gestational mother, from the birth mother. And it's only been in the last 40 years that we've been able to separate those two things through the advent of IVF technology. So generally speaking, there is that presumption that the woman who gives birth to a child is the child's mother, and then that woman's spouse is the presumed to be the other legal parent. And we've seen situations like in New York that's been extended to lesbian couples as well, where the birth mother's intended mother's wife has also been determined to be the legal parent of the child. So now the question becomes, at the end of the day, do you want to do a second parent adoption, for if that's available to you, for the non-biological parent? And that comes down to issues of state law as to whether that's advisable in your particular jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm. And again, very complicated. So it can be one of those things. Yeah. So we don't have too much more time, but I'm just curious if you can just, based on your perspective, because it sounds like you do a lot of this, as you said before, the types of adoptions that you do in your work, let our listeners know. So domestic and international adoption, right?
Yes.
Okay. LGBT adoption, foster to adopt, same family adoptions, and then art and surrogacy.
Right.
So what do you see in terms of the landscape of adoption over the next 10 years? Can you look into your crystal ball, Brian?
I wish I could tell you definitively. I think there's going to continue to be a lot of change in terms of the types of families who are pursuing adoption. So so same-sex couples, definitely that's on the rise. Single people, both men and women, have become an increasing part of the mix of prospective adoptive families. I think the trend towards openness will only continue, and I think we'll be looking at more and more full open adoptions, and whether that's because that's how they started out, or because frankly families just weren't able to maintain whatever sort of mediated relationship that they've had because of the internet and social media. And I think the spread of marriage equality throughout the country, I think we can't underestimate that. Just yesterday, Thursday, federal court in Virginia struck down that state's ban on same-sex marriage. And, that has profound implications, too, because, the agency that we used, they have an office in Virginia, but they couldn't show same-sex couples to any of the prospective birth parents there because the Virginia law just did not allow that, and despite the fact that it was a very, very, very welcoming agency, they just couldn't find a way around the restrictive state laws. And
that's amazing. I'm so glad that you made that connection for us, because I wouldn't think that would have an effect on the adoption. But you know what? It really does. It makes sense that would have an effect on adoption. Therefore, really limiting who can adopt, which is just kind of an amazing connection.
Yeah, and in a vast number, in more states than probably at least 30 states, only one parent in a same-sex couple can be the legal parent of a child born or adopted in that state, when we saw the 1,300 couples lining up in Utah to get married, I read an interview with one woman who was 7-8 months pregnant, I think, and she was talking about how important it was for them because only the mom who was carrying the child was going to be able to be the legal parent, and the other mom was going to have absolutely no rights. And
I have met people in that particular situation, and it can be really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry we do have to close, but you've helped us to really, I think it gets down to over the next 10 years, we're going to really be looking at a new definition of family, a new
Very
definition
much so.
Of what that looks like. And Brian, you've been so helpful in helping us to understand what the terminology is, but also then what's in the future and what's ahead for us. And there are a lot of many wonderful ways to build a family. And so I appreciate you kind of breaking it down for us. So before we close today, we do want to do our financial tip from America's Christian Credit Union. And we want to start off by just talking about a college savings account, which is as possible. It's very, very important that you set up a college savings account as soon as possible to give your child a head start in life. America's Christian Credit Union offers youth accounts as well as educational savings accounts. America's Christian Credit Union is here to provide financial resources to Christians, including adoption loans. If you don't know about their adoption loans, they have many that are very helpful and have helped many, many families. You can visit them at americaschristiancu.com. That's americaschristiancu.com. Brian, again, I want to thank you for being with us today. If you want more information about Brian and his amazing work, you can find him on his website at esserlawoffice.com. That's esserlawoffice.com. lawoffice.com. Great show today. If you like the show or if you have suggestions for a story, we want to hear from you. You can reach me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com or visit our host webpage at voiceamerica.com. You can also find me at youradoptionfinancecoach.com. And if you have confusion about all of that, just go ahead and Google me, and I'm sure that you'll be able to find us. Thanks so much for joining us. Tune in next week at 12 o'clock Pacific, 2 o'clock Central, and 3 o'clock Eastern. In the meantime, have a great week.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific time and 3 p.m. Eastern time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening.